Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, finishing out, really, I suppose we can say, the last three verses of the Christmas story, reading Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. If you know the account, which I know you do, of the shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, you know it well. The shepherds went to Bethlehem. Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has told us of. And so they went with great haste, verse 16 says, and they found it exactly as the angel had said. They found Mary, Joseph, the baby lying in the manger. Now picking up the reading with verse 17. And when they, the shepherds, saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Advent, the Christmas season has pretty quickly disappeared, hasn't it? We're still in the 12 days of Christmas. I think this is day number 7 of the famous 12 days of Christmas. But for virtually all of us, I'm sure I speak for all of us, the festivities of the season have pretty much come to an end. And once this week is over, once we celebrate New Year's, once Monday is over with, New Year's Day is over with, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to take down the decorations at some point. We're going to go back to our regular schedules. We're going to put Christmas 2017 behind us. You notice verse 20 in our text. It says, and the shepherds returned. They returned to what? They went back to what? Well, they went back to the fields. They went back to the familiar. They went back to their occupation. They went back to their daily and weekly routines, but they went back from Bethlehem different than when they had come. So you think about us, the shepherds returned, we are returning from Christmas. Will we, like the shepherds, take anything of value with us from this Christmas season? Are we going to walk away from the manger yet again this year in the same way we arrived? Or are you and I going to be different people for having gone to Bethlehem? For many people, most people in our country, Christmas is over with. Return from Christmas means returning things at the store, I suppose. The return from Christmas for most people is rather meaningless. Maybe even for somebody listening this morning, it is meaningless for you as well. You're returning to the ordinary. You're returning to the commonplace of life, unmoved, unaffected by anything during the Christmas and the Advent season. You've heard the familiar Christmas carols. You've heard the familiar Christmas story, and all that's very nice. But your heart, your spirit, not really stirred in any kind of meaningful way. The Christmas story didn't really impact your relationships or the realities of your life. But that need not be the case. The return from Christmas can be a meaningful one, and it always can be when the message of Christmas, the gospel of Christmas, the Christ of Christmas, is a living reality in your heart and life. When Christmas, if I can put it this way, gets inside of you, what a difference it makes. And so this morning, as we look at this text, there are various responses to Christmas that are chronicled in this text. And I want you to notice with me what Luke sets forth in these simple verses, where we're going to discover that there are three meaningful, appropriate, lasting responses to Christmas. And let's notice these three responses one by one. Notice the first response is in verse 17. Speaking of the shepherds, the text says, when they saw it, they made known. Or the New International Version says, they spread the word. That was their response to the Christmas message, to personally encountering the Christ of Bethlehem, the text says they spread the word. How marvelous that is. I think of Acts chapter 4. The spirit of these shepherds to me is very much like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. You remember what Luke records. Peter and John were preaching the things of Christ after Christ ascended to heaven. They were preaching in the precincts of the temple, and they were accosted by the temple police. They were arrested. They were jailed. They were called before the council. And you remember what the Jewish high council said to Peter and John. We forbid you ever again of speaking in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And you remember what Peter's response was, Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, we cannot help but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. They had, in a personal way, they knew the living, risen Christ. They had walked with Him. He had died on the cross. He had risen again. He had ascended to heaven. We cannot help but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. That was the case of the shepherds. They could not help but speak about what they had seen, what they had experienced of Jesus Christ for themselves. They had an inner compulsion, like Peter and John, to speak of Jesus everywhere, in all circumstances, so that others might hear, others might know, others might come to faith. Nothing could prevent them from sharing the word. Now you think about you and me, would we have felt at home with that kind of group of folks? People always talking about Jesus to everybody. Would we be at home with that? Would we be joining with them? Or for one reason or another, would we feel strangely out of place? Think about that. But you know, if you and I have truly experienced Christ in our hearts, not just the Christ of history, not the Christ just of theology, but the living, risen Christ born in us, as the Christmas Carol writer puts it, Christ in the heart, Christ received by faith, if we're living in a vital relationship with Him, then will it not be so in our lives as well that we will have an inner desire prompted by the Spirit of God to spread the word, to speak of Christ, to make Him known? That's what the shepherds did. They made known all these things, or they spread the word. Think about this. If you were to go through the New Testament and count the number of healings that Jesus performed, and of course there are multitudes of healings where the Scripture just said He healed many in the crowd, or He healed many multitudes. So we have no idea how many Jesus healed, but of the specific instances, there are about 40 of them. And if you were to look at all 40 of these great miracles of Jesus, what you would discover is very few of those who were healed found their way to Jesus on their own. Is that most of those who were healed, somebody either brought that person to Jesus, or Jesus was brought by friends or family to the one who was suffering and in great need. And to me, that's an illustration of when it comes to people being saved. How many people find their way to Jesus Christ on their own? Most people are saved. Most people come to faith because of the witness of somebody else, because of the testimony of somebody else, because somebody brought them to the Savior. Somebody had a personal concern about reaching them for Christ. Do you have that kind of concern? The shepherds spread the message, and because of their occupation, they had unique opportunities to speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. Each one of you, if you know Christ as Savior, each one of you has a unique opportunity to spread the word of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Because think about this. Each one of us, different place to work, different occupation, different circumstances in life, different places that we live. We have different neighbors and friends and co-workers. We all understand that. And each one of you in this room who is saved, each one of you can reach people for Christ that nobody else in this room can reach. Because you have a connection. You have a relationship. They are friends of yours. You know them. And to think about this new year in 2018, oh, if all of us could be like the shepherds, eager to spread the word. to speak about the things of Christ. So this is the first response. The first appropriate, meaningful, lasting response is to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Notice the second of the three in this text. It's the response of Mary. Notice verse 19. Notice the words treasured and pondered. Mary treasured up, Luke says, all these things in her heart, and she pondered them. Treasured and pondered. What a contrast her response was to that of most other people. Did you notice how Luke verses 18 and 19 contrasts the response of most people with Mary's response? Notice verse 18. It says, "And all who heard it wondered, marveled at, were amazed at what the shepherds told them." But, here's what Luke says, but in contrast, on the other hand, Mary treasured these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Luke in verse 18 describes the attitude of most people. Most people in Jesus' day, in the Gospel of Luke, 13 different times, Luke will say the crowd or a group of people or an individual wondered at, marveled at, was amazed at. And depending on the context, it can mean simply astonishment, astonished at something that perhaps seems to be divine. It can mean surprise, critical surprise, where you're astonished, but you're resistant to what you've experienced or you have no understanding of it. It can mean just honest admiration at something. Luke says here that the people who heard wondered at, they were amazed at, and whatever shade of meaning Luke intends, the bottom line point is none of these came to saving faith. This all falls short of true and saving faith. They were amazed at, they marveled at, they were startled by, but that's as far as it went. And it became, I suppose, for a number of them, just all these things that were told them by the shepherds became little more than an unusual piece of gossip to pass on. Boy, did you hear about that peasant girl from Nazareth? Had a baby the other night? Did you hear about those circumstances? Boy, born in a stable, laid in a manger. Wonder why her husband dragged her along from Nazareth. You'd think he'd have more consideration, left her back home, rather than take her along. Yeah, and did you hear what the shepherds said? They said an angel showed up to them out in the field. What in the world is that? And the skies were filled with angels singing praise to God. Have you ever heard the likes of it? Luke says they wondered. They were amazed at, they marveled at, but that's as far as it went. They were very much like what Jesus describes in the parable of the four soils. Remember, Jesus tells this parable, it's in Luke chapter 8, of the sower who goes forth to sow the seed of the word. And as he scatters the seed, it falls on four different kinds of ground, Jesus says in this story. And some of the seed falls on ground, Jesus says, where they receive the message with amazement, with wonderment. They're startled by it. This is great. There's joy. And in one sense or another, they receive the message, but Jesus says there's no root there. There's just superficial wonder and amazement and joy, and whatever interest there is there quickly withers away and quickly dies and comes to nothing. How many people there are when it comes to the message of Christmas? It only produces idle and fruitless wonder. But you notice Mary, how different she is. Mary, first of all, Luke says, treasured up all these things. The word means literally to carefully guard. It was used in secular Greek for somebody guarding a prisoner. All right, so you're a jailkeeper. You've got somebody entrusted to your keeping and care. You keep your eye on that person. You make sure he stays in custody. You make sure he doesn't go anywhere. That's the word used of Mary. Mary carefully guarded. She protected and defended every detail. Here's what Luke says of what transpired. She didn't want any event or incident or detail to escape and get away from her. She carefully treasured up, carefully guarded, protected, defended every detail of what had transpired in her life. And you think about what Mary had experienced and what she was to experience in the not too distant future. the angel who had come to her suddenly in Nazareth, that announcement she was to be the mother of the Christ child, changing her life forever, of course, radically changing the course of the entire world. You think about that. You think about the wonderful 3 months she spent with Elizabeth. Mary didn't let those details escape from her. That time she spent with her older cousin, being mentored by her, praying together, sharing scripture together, fellowshipping together, the details of that 3-month visit, she treasured them up, she guarded them, she defended them. The return to Nazareth, the estrangement from Joseph, when Joseph found out she was pregnant, remember what Joseph wanted to do. Matthew says he was going to divorce her, do so quietly, not make a big deal about it. And those strained relationship with Joseph until the angel appeared to Joseph and explained to him that the child Mary was carrying was of the Spirit of God. But those days of strained relationship with Joseph where he didn't believe her. You think about the gossip of the townspeople, the antagonism of people there in Nazareth, maybe even members of her own family. There was the decree of the census, she and Joseph discussing what to do, the decision made the two of them would go together to Bethlehem, even though she was near to giving birth to a child. Then the birth in difficult circumstances, the child born in a stable, the baby being laid in a manger, the coming of the shepherds, all of a sudden they show up there at the stable, they show up there telling them that an angel had appeared. They give praise and glory to God. That was startling to Mary, of course to Joseph. The wise men who come not too long afterwards from the east. And then you go on into Luke chapter 2, beyond our text, 6 weeks later, Mary and Joseph take the Christ child to the temple. The strange words of Simeon, the prophecy from an old lady by the name of Anna. The decree of Herod to kill all the infants of Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph and the Christ child hastily leaving Bethlehem, going to Egypt, hearing about the slaughter of all the male infants in Bethlehem, eventually when Herod died not too long afterwards, being able then to safely return to Galilee and Nazareth. You think about what this young woman experienced in a really short period of time. And what Luke says is she carefully guarded, she protected, she stored up, she treasured all these details. You notice Luke says. And, notice the second word, and she pondered them. It means to literally put things together, to compare one thing with another. It's like we would say, as one of our English expressions, putting two and two together. So she treasured all this vast amount of detail. She stored it up, and then she put the pieces together like a jigsaw puzzle, where pondering and meditating and praying, the pieces began slowly to come together. She pondered all of these things. She worked through these things in her heart and mind and spirit. She mulled these things over. She meditated on these things. Talk about an appropriate response to the message of Christmas. And so Mary carefully treasured up, pondered, the scripture says, all of these things. And you think about it, if we, like Mary, would do the same, if we would ponder and reflect and meditate on how our faith would grow, how our relationship with Christ would mature, how our lives would be enriched. And not just with the Christmas message, but you think about it, every time you hear the word, what do you do with it? So you're in a Sunday school class, what do you do with it? Or you're in a Bible study, what do you do with it? Or you come on a Sunday morning, what do you do with the Word? Do you take it and treasure it and then think it through, pray it through, ponder it, meditate on it, put the pieces together if you will? How oftentimes you think about Christmas itself, we're so busy during December, aren't we? It seems like December is one of those really busy months. And so December is over with. Tomorrow, New Year's Day will be over with. We heave a huge sigh of relief. January's here. We go back to our regular routine, and we haven't taken time to pause and reflect and ponder. And so oftentimes, the message of Christmas or any message from the Word that we receive profits us little because we take the message, we put it in our pocket. It's like putting it in a pocket with holes in it. And the next thing you know, the thing's fallen out someplace and you've lost it. It's gone. Treasuring, pondering these things. Let me read you a little paragraph from A.W. Tozer. I have several of his books I've enjoyed reading over the years. He's kind of a, I suppose you would say, kind of a Christian mystic in some ways. He was active in preaching and writing in the first half of the 20th century. Great Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor and writer. And in one of his books called The Incredible Christian, or That Incredible Christian, let me just read one paragraph that he writes. He says, "I am convinced that the dearth of great saints in these times is due at least in part to our unwillingness to give sufficient time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God. We of the nervous West are victims of the philosophy of activism tragically misunderstood. Getting and spending, going and returning, organizing and promoting, buying and selling, working and playing, this alone constitutes living. The gospel of work has crowded out the gospel of Christ in many Christian churches." Unlike so many, Mary treasured and she pondered. Notice with me the third and final response, appropriate, meaningful, lasting response. And again, we come back to the shepherds in verse 20. It says, "And the shepherds returned," notice the words, "glorifying and praising God." What a marvelous response that is. That's the bottom line of Christmas, isn't it? Giving glory and praise to God. In fact, notice the words that Luke uses. They're significant words because you go back to verses 13 and 14 here in Luke chapter 2, where he describes the angels appearing to the shepherds. And so the angel gives the announcement, good tidings of great joy to be to all people. And suddenly Luke says, "There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God." And what I want you to notice is the words that Luke uses for the shepherds are the exact same words he used of the angels. The angels glorified and praised God. Several verses later, the shepherds, same words, glorify and praise God. And what Luke wants us to understand is their response was not a superficial emotional response, but the message of the angels, the reality of the message that the angels brought had entered their hearts and lives. The angels glorified and praised God. The shepherds glorified and praised God. Same words. You think about this. These shepherds, filled with a joyous passion in their ordinary calling, to bring glory to God. And this is one of the great truths of Scripture, is that whatever your calling is, whatever my calling is, from a Bible standpoint, there are not sacred callings and secular callings. Whatever it is that God has gifted you to do, whatever opportunity He's given to you, whatever career path He's opened to you, whatever training you've had, whatever experience you've had, when you put it to work to the best of your ability, as though you're working for the Savior Himself, it brings glory to God. It doesn't matter what the calling, it doesn't matter what the career, each calling and career, when it's submitted to the Lord, brings glory and praise to Him in whatever we do. And so the shepherds, in their ordinary calling of life, taking care of sheep in the field, not only in their words did they glorify and praise God, they certainly did, but in their lives, carrying out their calling, seeking to live in ways that honor the Lord, in all of those things, day by day, they brought glory and praise to God. And so wouldn't it be wonderful as we leave Christmas behind, 2017, if each of us, like the shepherds, had that overarching desire to bring glory to God in whatever we do. That the praise of the Lord would overflow our lives, not just in our words, that's important, but in our lives as we give ourselves away in the service of the Lord and as we seek to walk before the Lord in righteousness and holiness all of our days, bringing praise and glory in that way. And so as we enter 2018. As we celebrate a new year on the calendar, may we each of us tell others eagerly about the Savior. May we, like Mary, treasure God's word in our hearts. May it penetrate our souls and our spirits. May it change us. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. And may it be our chief desire in all things that God would be glorified. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for these simple verses. In such a beautiful way, Luke reminds us what our response to truth should be, that we share it, that we internalize it, and that we give glory and praise to you through what we've come to know and understand and receive. Lord, may this kind of response mark our lives throughout the year, not just at Christmas time or entering into the new year, but may these attitudes of heart, may the experience of the shepherds and Mary mark our lives as well. Lord, fit us for your work in this year to come. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a Christmas carol we haven't sung yet this year, but it goes along perfectly with our text.